welcome back to our continued coverage of Correlations Client Conference here in beautiful San Diego, California. And look who we have in the studio lounge, Sundie Seyfried from Safe Harbor Financial. How are you, Sundie?
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks
Happy
for joining us. Oh, yeah. Thanks for conference going A-OK for you.
Or? Great, yes. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking when you're speaking, but, you know, once you finish, you can come
then you're like,
and enjoy.
You can exhale a little bit, for sure. So, good stuff. Hey, we're talking about what you talked about, and that is managing a cannabis portfolio. So, can you give us a quick overview of what you talked about or the message that you wanted to convey?
Sure. Actually, I spoke twice. Yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I spoke yesterday and I spoke today. So, yesterday I got a little more into the details in terms of the regulations and making sure people understood what their risks were and why we thought we could do this 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, you know, really kind of pointed out the regulations that allow us to do it or to protect us.
Right.
And there's always a possibility of things going wrong,
mm-hmm.
but the probability we feel is diminishing every year. And then today I wanted to share the story about how we remained relevant, and that relevancy is going to result, if we finish this deal, in a very large payment to the credit union to buy them out of the program.
And really?
To buy Safe Harbor Financial, yes. So there was an announcement on February 14th that stated that the SPAC that with whom we're working is going to pay Partner Colorado Credit Union $185 million.
Wow.
Yes.
That's slightly big news.
Yes.
Well
done.
Yeah.
And onto the NASDAQ once we close the deal.
Right,
so
right.
We're in the process of moving through the approvals at the SEC and making sure that we have all of our ducks in a row,
right.
Hiring up the officers that will allow us to expand on a national level and try to hit the ground running.
Yeah, my next question is like, okay, what does this mean for you guys? What's the next step? What's the end goal here?
Wow, you know, it's...
Or is that a too big of a question? Is it too early?
The end goal. But, you know, the interesting thing is I never foresaw this 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is just amazing. But it happens to be that the sponsor we chose to do the de-SPAC were clients of ours at Safe Harbor.
Okay.
They had cannabis companies and couldn't get banking and ended up banking with us.
Mm-hmm.
So they already knew cannabis, which made... the due diligence much easier because we didn't have to educate them and they weren't afraid of the industry and
right.
they created the SPAC specifically to get more financial services under one roof
mm-hmm.
to the entire cannabis industry on a national level.
Mm-hmm.
So next steps really to make sure that we get through the de-SPAC, which we are expecting to do, get through the SEC approvals, receive the new board,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be a very exciting board. And it's all in proxy, but I won't go into all that.
Oh, no, that's okay, that's okay.
So, and, you know, hit the ground running with staff, and we've done all the hard work to get them prepared, and at this point in time, we're going to be able to offer them stock options, which is something they're very excited about.
Yeah.
We need to get them excited and move this forward.
No doubt.
I'm still working on the details.
Okay.
As far as the end goal goes, I think... the next big thing we're going to work on is a merger and acquisition strategy.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of single service providers in the financial services for cannabis,
mm-hmm.
and we're hoping to cherry pick the best of the best
Good
once
for you.
We get the capital.
Good for you. I want to step back here. What's the status of cannabis banking right now? Because it seems to be on this roller coaster right now. I just read I think it's on CU Collaborate today about NCUA doing some stuff with that, and it seems to be an ever-evolving situation. And because years ago, who was it? Was it Fourth Corner Credit Union with...
Yes.
Oh gosh, I can't remember her...
Deirdre.
That's
Oregon.
Right. Yes. I remember we had her on the show when they were first starting. I went, oh my gosh, this is so great. You guys are doing that. But they had so many hurdles and so many issues. And it was just like, it was kind of like two steps forward, one step back type of situation. So where are we today, having said all of that, with cannabis banking?
So... Everything in cannabis is an uphill battle. You know, right from the very day you start getting
mm-hmm.
into it, you
mm-hmm.
learn that, the industry tells you it's a battle. If you don't have the stomach to ride that roller coaster, then you need to be off of
mm-hmm.
that. So nothing surprises me. We thought and believed that legislation would catch up to what we were doing.
Right, right.
8 years ago.
They're still a little behind.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The legislation isn't going to change the risk of what we're doing, because the risk of what we're doing is really BSA, And that's the heavy duty, the big, you know, elephant in the room, mm-hmm. and FinCEN can put millions of dollars of fines on you if you're not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we lived through were those 16 exams at a federal and state level, both in all the time, just about every 90 days at one point in time. But it did give us confidence and helped us refine our program over and over again so that we know our regulators are comfortable and we are doing things right.
Right.
So it's difficult.
Okay.
It's all difficult.
Well, there seems to be two railroad tracks here. You got the states legalizing, and then you still have the federal where a little behind here. So how do you navigate that road? With the state, I mean, because obviously California, it's legal here, so I'm sure the banking part of it is going to follow suit, but there are still many other states where it's not. And so how do you handle that, or do you?
There is nothing we can do at this point in time.
Okay.
You know, I don't see the federal government moving to legalization in a long time. I think if they get Safe Banking Act or something similar that, I think that's what we can count on.
Okay.
And that removes the ability for the federal government to prosecute us just because we're banking the cannabis industry.
Okay.
So, but it doesn't take away the elephant in the room again, right? So the full legalization will take some of the elephant in the room away, but not as people think, because there is a black market out there living right amongst the legal market.
Yeah.
And as long as there's a black market, we have got to protect the financial system mm-hmm. from illicit dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the issue that has to be addressed even in legalization.
Yeah.
Until black market goes away, until banking is prevalent across the country and dollars are being verified, then the federal government can take a look and say to a cannabis customer, why don't you have a bank account? Why are you getting terminated from all your bank accounts? They're going to be able to pinpoint some of the bad actors through all the reporting that we do.
Good point. Oh my gosh, good point. I hope you argue that many times. That's the best point I have heard yet. So,
I
love that. Love that. So credit, from a credit union perspective, why would they want to get involved in this right now? Maybe, you know, 5 years down the road when things are a little bit smoother, maybe, but why would a credit union want to get into this right now?
It's a difficult thing to get into if you don't have the resources and size behind you to support the program. But last year, 93% of the capital infused into cannabis companies was debt, loans, credit.
Really?
And that's the relationship we all want, right?
Right,
the long-term sticky relationship involved in getting the credit, getting them access to credit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's a market that even the larger regional banks don't want to pass up.
Mm-hmm.
They want that. They
mm-hmm.
don't want to see us move in and take that over any way, shape, or form. But it's something that we are doing at a pretty big level at this point in time to move us forward on a national level.
Goodness gracious. This is something, I'm just fascinated by how all this works and all the moving pieces and the processes and stuff that go on in this. You would think it would be easier, but obviously it's not. But we have very smart folks like you pushing that proverbial envelope in this area. So we thank you for all your efforts in that area. Anything else to add here, Cindy? I mean, we could talk probably the next 2 hours on this type of stuff. I'm sure you could. And I know you have
days.
A schedule. But anything else that you wanted to pass along? Any other highlights from your talk, or any takeaways that you want credit unions to kind of take home with? And
you know, Darren Williams spoke before me about the relevancy of credit unions.
Yeah.
So when I got up there, my very first slide talked about being relevant to our community and not judging them for passing legalization.
Yeah.
And you know, this relevancy not only kept us relevant as a credit union, it's going to benefit the credit union and the members because it became valuable. And there are ways for us to participate at a greater level as credit unions, and maybe not as a CUSO, but maybe as we did, decouple a function and move it forward. But I think you have to find the right opportunity.
Yeah, indeed. Well said. Well, Cindy, I'm going to let you get on your way, but thank you so much for your time today. I know you are probably being pulled in 100 different directions, but we appreciate your time. So thank you very much, and all the hard work that you're doing. Keep it up, all right?
All right.